Hello there, friends. You have found the Regional Reports, the program that tells you all about amazing nonprofits and organizations that help support our communities and how we can help support them. I am B. Doe. Really thrilled to be chatting with the CEO of Sanctuary. Her name is Courtney Santana, and we're going to find out why this organization is so important to our community and the benefits that they really do provide for people in need and in crisis. Welcome to the Regional Report, Ms. Santana. How are you, ma'am?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. You know, October every year is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I guess that's a great jumping off point. Why is that important to Sanctuary?
Why Domestic Violence Awareness Month is important is that we find that that's the month where we focus on the needs of survivors. We talk about those that we've lost. We talk about the work that's being done in the field. Like it's like a reacquaintance with like the work that's actually being done around domestic violence. And you'll find a lot of legislation starts to come out during that month, because we really start looking at what are domestic violence victims looking at when they're trying to recover and trying to leave their violent homes. So it's a very important month, and we really try to do a lot of advocacy and outreach during this month.
And if people were unfamiliar with Sanctuary, it is an amazing organization that pretty much makes that connection to securely place displaced domestic violence victims into immediate emergency housing. And you're working with first responders, advocates, and other organizations to make that happen. Would that be a fair assessment of Sanctuary?
That would be a very fair assessment. That's very good.
So how did we come to this? Kind of take a step back before we talk about where we are, how we can help you, and where we're going with Sanctuary. How and why is Sanctuary a thing to begin with, Courtney?
Well, Sanctuary was founded because 25 years ago, I am a survivor of abuse. And 25 years ago, I left my home in the middle of the night with my two small children. My son was 8 months old and my daughter is two. And I didn't have anywhere to go, but I had to go because I was being chased by my abuser with a gun. So it was like, this is now or never. And so I went and I called the police, and they told me to call my local shelter. And they said, the shelter said they currently didn't have any room. And I was like, well, I don't know where I'm going to stay. So a friend of mine told me to go to this specific spot. And I actually lived behind a Walmart on 35 and in Runberg for about 3 weeks with my children in our car. And I had a job I had to go to every day. I dropped my children off to daycare. I mean, my life was normal other than I was living in a car with eight other women living in their car behind the Walmart. And I got into the shelter because one day a police officer came, tapped on my window and was like, hey, you can't be here anymore. And I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Are you going to take my kids? And he was like, why would I take your children? Is, you know, there's a lot of misinformation that's going on in these communities. And I was like, well, I've been told that you do. And they were like, well, no, we're not. Let's get you into the shelter. And they took me to what was then Safe Place and helped me to get into the shelter, where I stayed for about 3 months. But after that, I said, you know, this is going to be the thing that I do, because I want to help people like me. I met a lot of families during that whole ordeal that helped me to see that this was a problem. Victims shouldn't leave in the middle of the night and not have a place to go. And if the shelters are always full because they're doing the good work and they're trying to support people, we need to create capacity for them as well, so that they can always say yes to a victim that's coming that needs them right away. I mean, it was a life or death situation for me. And now it was like my goal to build a safety net for shelters and victims alike to be able to place themselves when they're running from their violence.
That is such a powerful backstory, Courtney. Thank you for sharing it with our listeners. And I just think it's amazing that you've turned that into this whole, you know, CEO mission of making sure that nobody else has to walk in those shoes. Because if they're walking in the shoes that you were walking with previously, that's enough.
Right.
When it's time to get out, or when you make that decision that this is not, it could be a life or death decision that individual makes. where Absolutely. Do they turn? So before I have some specific questions about an individual who might be in those same shoes that you were all those years back. But first, kind of walk us through, how does Sanctuary do what it does? How are we placing these people?
Sure. So we have developed what is an online platform for first responders, service providers, so like shelters and hospitals. It just depends on who wants to use it, to be able to see our safety net of hotels. We built relationships over the last 6 years with hotel chains nationally that have committed to saying, listen, we will take this community of people. Because I went to them and I was, if a survivor can afford it, the hotels are the first place that they typically go if they want to go somewhere other than family. If they don't want to expose themselves to their family, they want privacy, they just want a couple of nights to get their heads together, they typically go to hotels. So I went to, you know, some of the leaders in the hotel industry in Austin, and I said, what do we need to do to solidify this relationship? Like, I want to make it so that survivors can go and know that they can go to hotels. And they were like, well, there's too much risk. There's too much, you know, we don't want, you know, continued violence in our hotels. We like, there are certain safeguards that we need to put into place. So we put together this risk mitigation plan. We just said, listen, we're going to handle all the things you said you didn't want. And if we do that, will you please allow us to place our victims into your hotels? And we did that over time. And now we have these great relationships with national chains. And that's what we call our hotel safety net. We can go to these hotels and they will support our survivors while we're providing them case management to get them placed into permanent housing. And through insurance, through all the things that we need to have in place, you know, it's a great relationship. We work with a lot of hotel chains that have, you know, kitchenettes, they've got, you know, laundry facilities so people can live a normal life. You know, it's normalcy, right? They can wash their own clothes, they can take care of themselves with privacy and confidentiality if shelter services aren't available.
It's that normalcy probably what they're experiencing is like a whirlwind or, you know, like a horrible storm. It's like, it's yes. the one, it's a rock in there for them, Courtney.
Right. It's nice to feel like, okay, I have some control over my life. I feel like I'm out of control. I've just lost everything. This will give me that place where I can like plant my feet and then assess what the situation is. Because I don't know about you. I mean, there are times where I'm just standing there and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stand in this spot for about 10 minutes until I can get my head together about what I got to do next. Now, imagine having to rebuild your entire life, you know? Having a place to live is the cornerstone of being able to be clear about your next step forward. So that's what we want to provide for survivors, you know, like me. I mean, that's what I lived through.
Beto here on The Regional Report, chatting up the CEO of Sanctuary. She's Courtney Santana, doing that powerful work out there, girl. This is amazing stuff. Help me work through this on the just terminology mm-hmm. of victims and survivors. Yes. Coming from someone who's lived through it, has been empowered by it, and is now an advocate for it. Mm-hmm. If somebody's listening to this conversation and going through that or something similar to what you actually lived through, speak to them on those terms or words and how they should be perceiving their situation.
Right. I am very careful about how I use the word victim and how I use the word survivor. You'll see me switch between the two because I feel like victim is a very temporary word. It's a word that we want to get a person who is experiencing this away from as quickly as possible because they have been dealing with this, you know, abuse and this mistreatment for many, many years. So in a lot of ways, they already have the resiliency and the resourcefulness to be survivors. It's getting them into a place where they have all the resources and the support they need so that they can truly step into that survivorship. So victim is like that first few hours, this first few days of what they're dealing with. And once they have the tools to actually move forward, that propulsion forward is what turns us into survivors. I tell people all the time when they ask me this, like, because they have asked me that question. And I was like, you know, I didn't really feel like a survivor until probably about 4 years ago. And I experienced my abuse close to 25 years ago.
Wow.
It's because, honestly, I I now feel like I'm in control of my ship for the first time in a long time. There were so many detrimental effects to, my life. My life was destroyed financially, and like relationships were destroyed. And I'm working slowly and surely to get back to that place. But survivorship is something that it's not automatic. There's some mindset changes that have to happen. There are some network changes. You can't hang out with the same people that you used to hang out with. But as you're doing that, you become a survivor. It's like a chrysalis. You're in there. The same materials that are a caterpillar are a butterfly. So it's just this development into that thing, and becoming the butterfly. The survivor is the butterfly.
Courtney Santana getting deep on the regional report. I
Come
love that.
on.
Let's go.
I'm saying some things. I feel like, sometimes if you think about a chrysalis, it can either feel like a comfortable place to to grow and to meditate and to become what you need to be, or it can feel like a trap. So it's almost like I have to change my mindset about what it is that I'm doing. I mean, there are times where I felt like this was all bad. It was terrible, terrible, terrible. But when I look back at it, there were certain things I needed to go through so that I can be in this place now. If I was speaking to another survivor, I'd say, I know this is terrible. I get it. I've been there. And there were days where I was angry. I mean, there were many days when I was in the shelter and I was pissed off. I was mad at all the advocates. I wasn't nice. But it is the process that I now know that I needed to go through. So I want them to give themselves grace. I want them to understand that there are so many people that want them to win, and that I want to set them up for success so that they don't feel like they're always hitting a wall, and that they shouldn't give up, because on the other side of this, they're going to look back and say, "I'm so glad that I developed that muscle. I developed those things that helped me get through the next phase of my life. I'm a different person now, Vito, because I went through what I went through." I'm not saying it was a happy time, because it wasn't a happy time, but I'm a better person. And I feel like those muscles were developed while I was learning how to grow out of this situation.
You are an amazing person. She's Courtney Santana, CEO of Sanctuary. Sanctuaryishere.com to find out more. Courtney, if people are hearing this and they're feeling that need to help support the mission of Sanctuary, what can we do to help you throughout the year?
Yes. Thank you. We have two ways. Just being out in the community and starting to talk about victim homelessness and how it's affecting those who are trying to transition out of their violent homes, knowing that sometimes shelter beds are not available. We're working together with shelters to make sure that they always have a soft place to land. That's really important. And then we have a fund called the House a Million Fund. On our website, you'll find all the listings of things that survivors might need at the point of when they're leaving their abuse. So for example, they might need housing. That comes in the form of the hotel safety net. And there, it'll tell you the price of it. And you can actually decide, hey, I wanna support food resources, or I wanna support transportation. I wanna support housing. This fund is going directly to survivors so that we can get them on that pathway back to housing. The number one thing that our survivors ask for when they come into our program is, where am I going to go next? They know that the hotel is not the permanent solution.
Right.
They know eventually they're going to have to go somewhere else. And our goal is to build a continuum of care where we catch them in the hotel safety net, but we are walking them through a strategic plan to get them into permanent housing, because that lowers the likelihood and the recidivism of getting back into an abusive relationship. Often people will go back to their abusers because they don't have a place to live. So we want to remove that barrier and provide them an opportunity to find their own housing in their own way.
Can you speak to that person that feels that going back to an abusive situation is their only outlet? That it's not.
Right.
That Sanctuary exists, that other organizations exist, and that taking that step for themselves, their children, their family, is necessary to break that cycle.
Yes. It's really important for them to realize that this is a door that's opening, not a door that's closing. And a lot of times, you know, they love their abuser. They love the person that's causing them the most harm. So when you are saying, no, come over here, let's help you, you need to come with a handful of resources that's going to be stronger and more powerful than the thing that they feel like they're losing. And that's why we are working to give as many resources and partner with as many people as possible, so that when a victim is ready to leave, when it's really necessary, and they're ready to make that big step, they feel like they're coming into a community of love and of support that is going to be greater than the thing that they feel like they're losing. So it's time to make that step. It's time to get out, because a lot of times there are victims who have children that are experiencing that. And although they don't think that their children are directly affected, they are. My children were affected and they still are. And I had to make a brave decision to say, today is the end of that day for me. And it's also the end of this curse for my family. Last night, we had a time where I looked at my son and I feel like I've effectively broken that curse in our family. He will not be an abuser. He now has a daughter, and now he is going to change that trajectory for our whole family. My grandmother suffered from abuse, my mother suffered from abuse, and I've suffered from abuse. But through my son, I'm trying to break that chain that exists that says that abuse was okay. So when you're ready to make that move, just know that there is something there to catch you. You will be supported. There are organizations out there that work tirelessly to provide resources so you don't feel like you're alone. It's okay to leave. It's okay to break that chrysalis open and to move forward in your life, because you're going to do just fine. You're strong enough just now. And you find that you actually are using less of your resources when you get out of your abuse than when you are in it. You're brave. You can handle this, and you need to step out into the new light of your new life. It's going to be okay.
You are a beautiful butterfly, and you can fly. And you have friends out there that want to help teach you how to do so and support you in doing so. And Courtney Santana in Sanctuary is a big part of that. How can people catch up with you on the social medias as well, Courtney? You know, people are everywhere these days. If it's not, you know, hearing it on the radio or seeing it somewhere, they're online. But you're active on that community as well.
I am. Sanctuary PBC is on all the platforms. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn. And then they can follow me on the socials. I'm on IG. I'm on Instagram, Courtney _ Santana. But yeah, we're all over the internet. And we're, of course, if you go to our website, you can find all of the ways that you can connect. But we want to be able to be there to support anyone who's facing this displacement. We're actually expanding to a national level next year. So we're really excited, and I'm I'm terrified of it, but I'm excited about it, because I feel like, you know, the pain that we went through was not wasted. We all have experienced it in my family, and now we're breaking it for other people. What better way to experience something in your life. So
Courtney Santana, you are the CEO of Sanctuary. And from what I've just gleaned from this brief conversation, you are a truly powerful woman helping to break cycles, empower individuals to be that butterfly, to break free from an abusive relationship or situation. And your brother Beto just sends so much love to you, ma'am, and everybody doing all that hard work at Sanctuary. What a great story.
Thank you. I really appreciate you, Beto. And thank you so much for doing this. I really would love to get the word out, because it's for women like me, men like me, with children like our own. You know, it's like, we've got to take care of our community and go back and support those of it who have supported us. I mean, this will help shelters and service providers across the country to end what's a pervasive problem for them as well. It's like, they don't want to turn anybody away. So this will create capacity so they don't have to.
SanctuaryIsHere.com is the place you can land to find out about their benefits throughout the year to help support them. You can donate right now if you feel so inclined as well, and to keep up to date with all the great work that Sanctuary does. Courtney Santana, thank you so much for taking the time, and best of luck in growing into a bigger butterfly and helping even more people nationwide. What an amazing story starting right here in Central Texas.
Thank you.
I am B. Doe. You've got the Regional Report, where we share great nonprofits and organizations providing amazing benefits for the community and how we can help support them. Spread the word.